I'm good. Hello.
Hello. We are definitely in the middle of summer. I hope the weather's improved over on the East Coast for you.
Yes.
Yay!
Extreme heat advisory warnings now, but we still have the thunderstorms. We had really bad thunderstorms yesterday, actually.
Oh my gosh. Guys, the world is ending, okay? Mm-hmm. You know what freaked me out? I read an article this week that said we are no longer, from scientists, that there's no longer global warming. It's global boiling. And I'll just say, yeah, I can definitely feel it outside. So crazy.
So crazy, but all the things we're living through. They're not things in the textbook anymore.
No. We're tired of living through historic events, okay? Please give us a break. But anyway, can you believe we're already on episode 7 of this season?
Yeah.
I feel like it's zoomed by.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode was called February 14th. And what did you think of the episode in general before we get into it a bit more?
You know, I liked it. I think, though, if I had to use one word to describe it, it was nostalgic.
Yeah.
That was what I felt a lot of watching the episode. And once again, I appreciate it more after I listened to their official podcast. But even without that, I liked the episode. It reminded me of old Sex and the City.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I'm actually looking forward to your insights from the podcast. I also enjoyed it. No, I really am. I'm not even being sarcastic. I actually am.
No, I'm laughing because every time I watch, it's always last minute because life is always so busy. And then I try to fit in the podcast. And then it sometimes is rushed. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hope I remember. Because I'm like, oh, this is a good point. And then we come to record and I'm like, I don't remember anything. But speaking
whatever you remember.
Not remembering anything. There was a point I wanted to bring up last week, which I forgot to. It was when Charlotte reached out to Carrie and thought that she might have condoms. And I thought Carrie's reaction was weird. I don't think it was far-fetched that she's talking or asking her that she might use condoms. She's like, oh, am I going to get pregnant at this age? And I know it's that age-old thing. Like, even back in the day, people were more scared about pregnancy than an STD. But I think it's valid. Like, they're older. You're not going to get pregnant. But he might have a disease. Like, her asking was like the weirdest, oddest thing. So now because you're older, you just raw dog anybody?
Yep. Because I read something quite a few years ago that said incidents of like sexually transmitted diseases in homes, like nursing homes, are sky high. And I'm just like, that should be your clue right there that you need to wrap it up, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're not going to get pregnant, but you can still catch something.
Has she not seen the headlines? There's a 128% increase in syphilis outbreak in Houston.
128?
I don't know what it is, but they said there's just a huge spike in syphilis in Houston.
What are y'all doing down in Houston? Wow. Wow. But also, not to be funny, are you surprised, Tane? This is Carrie. I bet Carrie never used condoms to begin with. She just gives me that vibe. I can't lie. She gives me, like, pop a pill, have a cigarette and go. I bet she's never used a condom a day in her life. Like, just the vibe she gives me. So I'm not surprised.
What was it she used to use? Not. Oh, my God. That Samantha had to help her fish out. Not a douche.
The diaphragm.
The diaphragm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I wonder if people still use diaphragms. I wonder.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's just something you just never... I feel like I heard about it a lot when we were kids. And then when they teach you about sexual health. But it's something that literally I never hear about anymore. So,
I mean, if you're going to go through the trouble of putting a diaphragm, you might as well just put an IUD once.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, IUDs are very painful. So I've heard. So anyway. This was not supposed to be a contraception podcast, but here we are. But anyway, I don't know if it's me overthinking it, but I thought, I guess as I'm saying it now, I'm working it through my mind. Because when I was watching the episode, I'm like, isn't it a bit weird how eager Carrie's friends are for her to reunite with Aiden? Because I'm just like, why? Why are they so excited for it? But now as I'm saying it out loud. I guess maybe it's the relief of you thinking your friend is finally moving on after a catastrophic and traumatic event. Because Aiden was so long ago. I'm just like, why would you want her to get back with him? Am I overthinking it?
I think you're overthinking it. First of all, we ended last week with me thinking that she didn't mean to send it, but she did mean to send it. I saw that in the recap. So I don't know what I was doing when I was watching, but I didn't see that when I was watching it.
I see how you could have made that mistake, though. I do. I feel like they could have harped on it a bit more.
I think they suffer from the thing of... I wanted to say married people. I mean, I'm married, but I don't think I have it. But you're the only one who don't have it,
by the way. Actually, I mean you and maybe one other friend who isn't always trying to marry other people off.
I don't get it. I was like, you go with people at their pace. If they want to date, if they don't want to. But there's that thing of, oh, you have to do this. You have to put yourself out there. How can you force someone to date when it's not like you're gonna go pick up an apple at the grocery store? Like, it's a whole thing. So I think they suffer from that, and again, it keeps the show moving, because I was about to say these people are so anti being single, but I mean, I guess that's the whole premise of the show. And if you're gonna do it, you might as well do it with someone that you already know, because as we see later on in the episode, they say dating is a shit show. So you might as well go with someone that's familiar. And besides you and a few people who really hate Aiden, like, Aiden was not bad to carry. He was not a bad person.
Not at all. Do you know what? I don't hate Aiden as a person.
I just feel like he's a bitch ass.
Yes. And, you know, it was just heartbreaking because I was in love with Aiden my first watch around. And watching it the second time, I'm just like, is this man okay? Why is he such a glutton for punishment? I thought Carrie was awful to him. He's not a horrible person. But I just stopped feeling sorry for him. Because I'm just like, you're actually willingly signing up for this. So my sympathies run out for you.
Yeah. So I think that's why they are eager. And the thing is, they want Carrie. How do I describe this? So Carrie is going through her grief and through her whole that. Yes, you should give people time to grieve or whatever. But there's also that. I don't want to say discomfort, but it's a thing of, if Carrie is dating, then it signifies that she's doing okay, whether it's true or not. So it's like, if you're going to do it, let it be true and tested with someone that we know and that you've dealt with in the past, and you kind of have an idea of who they're going to be. So if they're excited for her to date like Berger or something, I get it. But it's Aiden. Aiden is like the comfort blankie, so...
And he was never, ever, ever horrible to Carrie. Not a day in his life. So I guess that's that. So,
but yeah, part of the nostalgia that I felt was, one, it was the three of them. It wasn't with the extras or the newbies and all that, which they mentioned on the podcast was on purpose. And we have kind of Miranda back. And it was just reminiscent of their old chats and Charlotte romanticizing everything and saying, no, it's Valentine's Day, no, it's this. But honestly, I don't want to be in my 50s still trying to decipher a man's intentions.
Yeah.
Nothing about that is... Actually, I think this is my Virgo side or me being harsh coming out, but I just think it's a failure if at 55 we're still trying to figure out, pick up the phone and just call.
Yeah.
I just
you should have grown as a person, right? To be able to be direct with men.
Yeah. You're like, oh, if he said it on Thursday, then he doesn't, then it means he's single and he did it on purpose. And who has time for that? That's exhausting.
Yeah. And actually, you mentioning, I don't know why I didn't take note of it, that it was just the three of them. I remember taking note that Kristen Davis's acting seemed really natural in that scene compared to other, you know, we've spoken about her acting extensively. And now you said it is because it's the three of them, it's the old dynamic. So I think that's why it felt so familiar and so good, because it felt like the old Sex and the City. I didn't think, oh my God, these actors are rusty.
Yeah. And Miranda just rolling her eyes and what are you doing and all that. So yeah, so it was just kind of nice. But I appreciated Carrie knowing what she wanted. Carrie already decided that she wants Aiden. And she's like,
Yes.
that's why I said yes, that's why I sent that or whatever. So that was nice.
Sorry, not to be a bitch again to Aiden, but when you said Carrie's decided, yes, Aiden, because of course when Big dies, she's like, who's the next best choice of the pick? Aiden, once again, he's been her second choice his whole time on the show.
Technically he's not. It's been a year. She's dated in between, and he kind of I don't see it that way. I think
Pain.
there's
If
enough space.
this was me in real life, you would be honest. You would tell me, so you're gonna be second choice again?
I wouldn't say
You
second
would.
choice. I would just be like, why are we going down this road again?
Which is code
But
for, so you're gonna be second choice
I don't think
again.
he's second choice because there's been people in between.
They
That's
didn't.
all. Which they mentioned on the podcast. They said they knew they couldn't bring Aiden back that soon in the first go season and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But now it was like a natural. I did like how they introduced Aiden. It was like talking about
Yes.
exes, divorce, or whatever. And you're kind of like, huh, how's my, whatever going? I think the only thing I grapple with is everyone keeps talking about Aiden and Big were the two big loves of her life and all that. And on the rewatch, it's hard for me. I don't even have memories of Carrie loving Aiden. When
Yes.
I think of them, I think of how he was like a placeholder or she mistreated him. I don't remember their good times. I know they had it, but they didn't just seem like they fit. It was more like she tolerated him or he irritated her. So I don't know how she's this big, he's this big love. I'd even put the Russian ahead of him, even though I don't think they had chemistry, but.
I would put Berger on the same plane as him as well. I feel she was just as angry at that ending as she was at Aiden. The ending of that.
Don't even know.
Because remember with Berger, she'd finally like rush to get back with him. She was bending over herself to make him comfortable, and then he left her that post-it after
Yeah.
spending the night. And she
Yeah.
lost it. Yeah. I love that you tweeted everyone follow the rewatch on Twitter that Aiden is Carrie's, no, Carrie is Aiden's Big. And I was just like, yes, hit the nail on the head, because she
Yeah.
really is.
I'll expand more on that. I'm waiting till we talk about there's something he did that inspired me to say that. So,
Yeah, okay, we'll bring it up. But that made me cackle,
yeah.
cackle, cackle, cackle. I
Well,
wanted to ask, with Miranda and Che, she was when Che asked Carrie if Miranda was ghosting her, how can someone you broke up with ghost you? Isn't that a contradiction? Like, I'm just like, how can you be ghosted by someone
I
that
think she
you
just
didn't
used
want
it
to be
wrong.
with?
I think she just used it wrong because ghosting is like when you just don't. I don't know. Maybe ghosting has expanded. She's just not picking up your calls
Yeah.
because
You're
that.
broken up. You broke up with her.
Yeah. Like, what do you want
So
to chat about? The weather?
exactly. It's and it, all of that is just, I think it's fine if Miranda reaches out, but when people break up with you and do that, I think it's just to assuage their guilt. That's all it is. So it's ultimately still a selfish reason. I feel like they're not genuinely, we're not always like genuinely checking up on you. So they feel better because they want to make sure you haven't like killed yourself or something, you
Well, I thought we had gotten rid of Shay, but I think we're going back to the original where they're going back to being Carrie's friend. So
Yes.
here we are.
That's another thought I had when Che was complaining about how broke they are and how they've had to like lease out their place. And I'm just like, why can't you go back to podcasting or stand up again, what you were doing before this pilot? What were you doing for money before then? Or was I overthinking it? Like, do you have to go back and work in an animal shelter? I was really
That
confused.
is there something they're building towards? But that whole animal shelter thing was very random.
Was
But
very random.
I mean, if not, I wouldn't say they were blackballed, but maybe the psychological part of it, not being able to write jokes and go back up there. And it's not like you just wake up one day. They had an actual official podcast, so maybe they don't want to do it independently. I don't know, but it was just really, I just thought the whole animal thing was random. Are they trying to humanize Jade for us because it's too late? So I don't
forget, this podcast was wildly successful, we were led to believe. So if you had such a huge audience, you think they wouldn't clamor for your comeback?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I was surprised that the Rock storyline was still going on. But thank God it also ended. We should just aspire to be Charlotte. Just find joy in the little things. There's nothing that does not delight Charlotte.
It makes me so angry because her children are so nasty to her. And I'm sorry, this is beyond, I'm just like, why are you both so bratty? At least Rock is marginally less bratty, and Rock did have points that Charlotte is being very much stage mom about the whole thing. But Lily, someone needs to get some sense into that girl. Like, don't piss me off.
I had a really random fleeting thought where I was just so happy for Charlotte that she got everything she wanted. Like, all this woman wanted was to be married and have children and be Betty Crocker and all the stuff, and she gets to do it, and it's just like, it wasn't all in vain.
Yes. Oh no, you're right. You're right. And I was also really happy. I'm sure you guys watched the episode. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here. she accidentally takes an edible and ends up really high, which kind of messes up her and Harry's Valentine's Day dinner. But I was just really happy that she's decided to get back to being, like, being in the art world, just because her bratty children don't appreciate her enough. So I'm glad she's realizing that she's giving them too much. Maybe she needs to be a bit less available so they appreciate what they have. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I love her marriage with Harry. I don't know, still my faves. There's just so much genuine respect and affection and just support between the two of them. In my ideal world, that's like what a marriage should be, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of good marriages, I just want to say one more time, because I haven't said it from last week, I really, really enjoy Nicole Ari Parker as LTW. If we're going to nominate one person from this show, it should be her, because what she does as LTW, like that balance of the seriousness and the comedy, like this week it was just her son having a girlfriend that has the audacity all through. But I think what it was for me was, you know, I wasn't sure where they were headed. I feel like I say this a lot about this show, like where are we headed with this? But they were talking about, and I think Herbert tried to say, like, is it because you're losing control and all that kind of stuff? He's not your property. And then LTW is like, I didn't have a problem with his previous girlfriend and all that. The whole time I thought they were leading up to her problem was she was white.
He's white. Me too. Oh my God.
But they never did. They never said it on the podcast, because they bring Samantha Irby's on the podcast and she's a black writer. Yeah. They never said that. And they were like, it's not that. It's just, and I'm like, okay, so what was the thing? I still don't know. I just feel like that was a loose end, and I think it would have made sense if it was that she was white, and then Herbert is probably like, you know, this is a new time that you can't be racist as long as your son is happy. But they shy from that.
I want to stand up and clap for you, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, this episode would have been so much better if they navigated her issues with his girlfriend being white. Because to me, that's more realistic, especially considering the kind of families that they both come from.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Very old African-American families. There's no way it wouldn't be an issue to have your eldest son dating a white girl. And that, like, a white girl who seems to be very comfortable crossing boundaries. And I feel like no offense to the writers, it would have made more sense if she was, like, doing all the stuff she was doing, typically. And instead of her husband, like you said, saying you don't own him, being like, just be honest, is it because she's white? And then watching her navigate those feelings. To me, that would have been way more interesting and more realistic.
Especially complimenting last episode where she walked through a blizzard just to take a thing to represent being African American.
Yes.
You know, at MoMA and all that. So then that builds that background for them, like how proud they are of the African American heritage and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
they missed an opportunity there, but they didn't even talk about it. So I don't know.
Because
they tend to talk about all the ways, how they got there, making a choice and all that stuff, but they didn't talk about that. So I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it was a missed opportunity. Yeah. Her Valentine's Day outfit was sensational. I love the red on her.
Mm-hmm.
She was so good. I wish they'd give her kind of a change of wig, though. That wig kills me. Like, I want her to have a different look. I'm sorry. Just switch it up, you know? I know she's older. Maybe she's one of those black women that has, like, a hairstyle that she loves and sticks to it. But I'm just like, please let her switch it up. Because it kills me. It's always the same.
Let's talk about Anthony.
Yes.
I saw an article this week that was basically praising Anthony and how Anthony is the one thing that is consistent from the Sex and the City days, and it's such a delight to have him there. And it's very easy to get swept up into other people's opinions, but then I stopped and I was like, I don't think I feel that way. Like, Anthony's just like he's not white noise, but he's just there and he does fine, but I don't think there's anything extraordinary or that he's blowing anything out of the water or anything out there. So, yeah, I don't agree with that article. But they gave him a storyline this week with his thing. And I'm just like, this guy just whipped out the shot and gave himself a hormone shot in the middle of the bread place, really? Not in the locker room, the changing room, nothing? That's weird.
Very weird. I like the bread phone. I don't know if you noticed the bread phone, but it made me giggle. But please continue.
No, I said I did. I noticed the bread phone. It reminded me of, I still watch Jersey Shore, but the duck phone that they have.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. No, with, okay, I guess the article, they're right. His character probably is the most consistent. But it's not like I was excited to see him in the original series either. So why would I care if he's consistent? He's
He's fulfilling his supporting role, but I wouldn't say that he's all that. But I think, again, like I always say, Michael Patrick King is just always patting himself on the back on the show and all that stuff. So they were so proud of their casting about the Italian with the poet and all that kind of stuff. And it was good casting, but it kind of fell flat for me. For one, you're not going to go on the Drew Barrymore show, which is daytime TV, which is young kids, and have like a dick print being filmed. They will film from the top up. They would not let him go in. And it's just, I know.
And they would have checked with them.
But it just didn't work out that way.
Like, someone would have seen him in a green room before walking onto set. I don't know. And the whole episode, I thought I was being prudish. Because the way they were talking about Giuseppe, that was his name, I don't know, it made me a bit uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why. Sorry, guys. Sometimes I really hate to defend men, but here we are. It's giving me a headache thinking about it. But I feel like, at this stage of my life, I'm more aware of, like, double standards. And it's the same way that I thought, or we both actually thought, was icky when Charlotte and Lisa were talking about, you know, the student a few episodes back. I thought, that's not appropriate. This same thing. I was like, if the genders were reversed, this would be very, very, very gross. So why is it supposed to be okay? And again, maybe it's me being more prudish because my sensibilities have definitely changed. But it makes me really uncomfortable. I can't lie to you. I don't know. Yeah. It's like people treating them like it's just an object. And also not to wade in those waters, but I also feel like it's presented as being more acceptable when we're shown like gay men, which I also don't think is necessarily right. Do you know what I mean? Just open, naked objectification. And I don't think it would work the other way around. So why do we do it? Why do we continue to do it?
But who was the gay man being objectified?
Well, he's not gay, Giuseppe, but he was being objectified by Anthony and then also by, I guess Ross, he's a producer on the show or something.
No, that's Ross Matthews. He's famous.
Oh, he is? Who is he?
He started as Jay Leno's intern and then he became his own personality, but he's partly, you know how what, what's the guy, Twitch, that died with Ellen?
Yes.
He was her DJ, but just kind of like the sidekick. So Ross is kind of that for Drew Barrymore, but he's also a judge on Drag Race and RuPaul's drag show.
Oh, you're hitting all my cultural blind spots. I've never seen an episode of Drag Race.
Yeah, okay. He's a personality, and he lost weight and all that stuff, but yeah.
Because Drew Barrymore show, I think I've only ever watched, like, one full episode, but I mainly watch, like, the clips, you know, that make their way around on social media.
Yeah. I don't feel any kind of way. I hear you, but I just, they're not the... The way I see it is kind of like someone tells me, oh, reverse racism. Yeah. No. So they're not the.
Wow, that hurt.
I'm just saying that's just how I see that. I didn't feel like I was going through everything you said, and I was like, yeah, I did not have any of those feelings. Like, it's fine to me. Yeah. Like, it's. And then the whole thing of Anthony's thing is that's why he has his men dressed like that. He wants them to be objectified, and that was the whole thing of that. And I think they were trying to prove, because they had other people that were looking for him, they were trying to prove that he's so appealing and why Anthony wants to keep him, because he's appealing to gay men and to straight women. And then it goes back to, and it reminded me of when Samantha was trying to get Smith and she was like, first comes the gays.
Yeah.
No, first comes the girls, and then whichever way, then comes the gays.
Yeah.
So that's just how my brain processed it. And I was like, they want to objectify. They've been doing it to us so many times. They have nude scenes. It's always the women. It's never the men. Please go right ahead. Didn't feel any kind of way. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fully aware it's probably a me problem, because I've always had an issue with, like, naked objectification like that. Especially, I don't know, I think it's also why male strippers are, like, my worst nightmare. And honestly, Anthony's staff, their outfits are too close to stripper attire for me. So every time they're, like, on screen, I feel deeply uncomfortable. I hate it. It's like the ick in, like, human form. Every time I see, like, male strippers or that sort of dresses. So that whole episode, I think it was me projected. But, yeah, hated it.
Yeah, actually, it's smart. Because there is a market for that. I remember when 50 Shades came out. No, Magic Mike. And I went to go see Magic Mike. And I'm like, these women are just like, I mean, the demographic is stay at home. Well, maybe not stay at home, but white women. And then in parentheses, maybe rich white women. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so flustered in the movie theaters. These are people I don't know. And you could see that. And then I remember when 50 Shades came out, that's also the demographic that was so taken by it. Because here's my thing with 50 Shades. I don't care about smut. It's just to me that it was badly written. That was
Thank you.
Like, it's fine. Like, you can do the smut, whatever. That's fine. And then there's this new crop of chefs on TikTok now who sexualize, like, they're making bread and they simulate, like, something sexual. And someone was like, who's the audience for this? And they were like, white women. And then they put all their comments and all the things that they said. So Anthony is just capitalizing. They're the ones who's going to pay for bread delivery. They're the ones that have the money. And that's what they lust after. So I'm like, you know what? This is a good business idea. So you go on, Anthony. When the guy says, we don't have to wear this in the winter. And Anthony looked at him like, are you stupid?
Of course he did. But I put a coat on over that shit. So.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to mention that I really like Charlotte's blue dress at the card store. It was lovely. It was just really well fitted, and it was just really nice.
And also, she's been looking great. Whatever she's done to her face is definitely settling. So keep at it, Kristen Davis. It's settling. No, I wanted to talk about Seema's outrage at the couple's massage, because she wants to be nice and take Carrie for a massage. And, of course, because it's around Valentine's Day, she's been discriminated against as a single person. And I'm sorry, I was with her, because it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. What do you mean? I can't come here, like, unless I come as a couple. Dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. We didn't get a lot of SEMA, but the little that we got of SEMA was great. The world just seems to be anti being single, like it's a disease, no matter how progressive everyone wants to claim that they are. But that's part of the things from the podcast also was like, actually, what I do like about the writing team is a lot of the things that we see are from their real lives. So for everything that we see sometimes is something that's happened to someone and all that. And they were all talking about, well, now they're in relationships, but before then that's how it was. And one of the writers was like, oh, Valentine's Day is not really a big deal. Like, you know, one day I schedule something. And someone was like, yeah, because you're in a relationship, so you take it for granted. So you don't get to feel how it is. But if you're single and you feel like, oh, it's this day that is just like, oh my God, what am I gonna do or whatever? And I think this happened to Michael Patrick King, I think, like the whole thing. So just wanted to acknowledge it. And they talked about how they sat down with all the characters and decided what were they gonna do for each of them for Valentine's Day. And that's how, like with Naya, they ended up with a me verse me evening, sorry, me evening. And one of the writers, her friend, was who introduced her to that. Like, I'm just gonna have a day that's about me and all that. That they flirted with the idea of Andre sending her flowers and all that. And then they just settled, like, you can have a nice day and just being by yourself. And they talked about the whole married people trying to foist something on you. You have to do this, you have to do that. And no one ever really asked the person, what do you want? Like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to me. But I'm glad with what they gave Naya. She made a souffle and it came out right. And
Yeah, and I like that. Do you know, I was worried that they were gonna make it into kind of oh, she's gonna say she wants some evening, and then she'll end up like crying into her souffle or something. Do you know what I mean? Once she's alone. And I'm so glad it never went that way, that she's generally had a great evening by herself. So yeah, that I like that a lot.
So that was good. And then speaking of other things that they got from their real life, Miranda. Well, let's talk about Miranda, I guess. She's reeling from a breakup, and I guess we do have a timestamp. So last episode was around Halloween, which was October. So now this is November, December, January, February, 4 months later, I guess. So I guess that's enough time. I don't know. She wasn't with Che that long. And Charlotte is just forcing on her that she needs to decide what she is if she's because they just assumed that she was just gonna date women. And then Miranda was like, why do you assume that it's a she? And then Karen's like, why should we not assume that it's not a she? So
Was doing Miranda that she was with men for decades.
yeah.
So do you think all of that was a lie? And Miranda used to get down in the original, so like
Well,
I don't think that was all a lie, right?
we don't know. I mean, art imitates life. That's exactly what happened to Cynthia
Her in real
Nixon
life,
in real life.
yeah.
So we don't know. So so she's trying to figure herself out, and then she meets this actor, well, audio voice person, and she's an Austenite, really into Jane Austen. And you know, I'm proud of her. She went in and she asked her out, and
Her red outfit was fire,
yeah.
Amelia.
The pantsuit.
Yes.
I was trying to remember where I knew her from. And then they mentioned in the podcast that she was on The Americans, and they really had a kick out of it. Oh, The Americans. Ha ha ha. So I just love how they self-fellate on that podcast. That's the best way I can say it because they're so proud of themselves. But Miranda goes to her house, and first of all, Miranda looks fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Hey, we have to pause to talk about it. Please continue.
I was so happy. Like, we're not
Yes.
gonna do what
This is
we
the best I've ever seen her look. Ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, she looked great. And she went into the
Hair,
house.
makeup, dress, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, from head to toe. And this woman is in sweats. Like, in sweats. And her house is a mess. And there are cats everywhere, and the sheets are in the laundry, and she's asking her for coins. And again, Michael Patrick King said that happened to him. Well, someone said, oh, this was someone, this happened to someone. And he's just like, it was me. It was me. I'm like, okay. And he's like, he just knew that it wasn't anything, because if the person didn't have sheets on their bed, he just knew that they weren't on the same page. And, you know, all the whole while, I'm like, Miranda, you don't have to humiliate yourself like this. Like, I just felt she read it wrong. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know if the lady didn't know what it was about, or if Miranda read it wrong. But she said...
No, so she asked her out and made sure it was Valentine's Day, right? So they knew. And originally had reservations, like, for a dinner. But the woman, she's like, oh, something came up. Does she mind if they move it to her place? So she knew. Okay. She just made no effort for her. Which is why Miranda shouldn't have waited for Carrie to tell her, you know, you can leave. I would have bounced as soon as she walked out that door to go get her laundry.
Yeah. And that was part of my nostalgia. I really, truly enjoyed the whole Carrie and Miranda bouncing things off each other through a phone and all that stuff. But I know Miranda was like, oh, if I was in my 30s, I would have stayed. But now I'm 55, I don't have to. But you didn't even think to do it until Carrie said so.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Honestly, do you think 30s Miranda would have stayed? I don't think she would have.
No, she wouldn't have. She would have left.
Immediately. Yeah. She would have probably left while they were still there.
Yeah.
And been like, oh, we're on different pages. This ain't going to work for me. No, she would not have put up with that. Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just thought that was so disappointing, especially because she looks so good.
What a waste. This is the life she chose. Like, everything is not going to be a Che. She's like, dating is a shit show. It's a jungle out there. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, Carrie is getting ready for her date. Not getting ready, but going on her date to Aiden. I wanted to point out that last week we said how everything she'd been wearing was billowy and we didn't know why and all that. And then even when she went to the massage place with Seema, I was like, yeah, we're right. She's wearing like baggy jeans and a baggy sweater and all that kind of stuff. But I guess they decided to put us to shame because her outfit to meet Aiden wasn't.
Yeah, it was still pretty buttoned up though. Like, it went right from her neck.
But it was form-fitting. Because for me, it's about more the fit. She's been wearing loose fitting stuff and all that. But I mean, before we get there, do you want to set it up or?
Yeah, so they agree to meet at a restaurant. And as usual, because Carrie's technologically challenged, she's gone to the wrong place. Which actually, when she was sitting there, like waiting for him to show up, I'm like, oh God, I hope he hasn't stood her up. But then when she came outside and realized she was in the wrong place, I'm like, no wonder she got to the wrong place, because whoever did that lettering was ridiculous. Because how do you know which side is which? It's not very clear. So Aiden had been waiting for her next door while she had been waiting for him in the other restaurant next door. And of course, her phone died because we need plot contrivance, all of that. And she finally manages to text him. Or he texts her, sorry, like, hey, I'm here, where are you? And she's like, I'm here, where are you? And she realizes she's in the wrong place. So she rushes outside and he comes outside. And they both looked at each other. And I have to admit, I cheesed so hard when Aiden appeared. I'm like, not me being caught up in the nostalgia, like you said. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, what a hug. I mean, I don't know why he was dressed like he was in the military, but you know, that's besides the point. What's the name of that show? I Volunteer as Tribute.
The Hunger Games.
Yes, he dressed like he was a staff member in the Hunger Games, but we'll get into that. So let me take a beat here and share some things from the podcast that I remember. First of all, the whole thing that happened with Carrie also happened to Michael Patrick King, but wait for it, with Chris Noth. So when he was trying to get everything back on everything, he was trying to talk to each person in the cast. He said he wanted to meet up to discuss his ideas for all that. And they agreed on a restaurant. And the numbering was exactly like that, where it was in the middle. And he went to one restaurant And he was there, and he was like, okay, this place is kind of crappy, but okay, that's where he likes to be. And because they took him to the back, he's like, okay, this is the restaurant he likes. They know who he is or something. And he waited, and then he was like, he gave him the Hollywood star 20 minutes or something, and he's like, his phone died, so he charged it. So he was ready to leave, and then he plugged it back in, and then he gets a text from Chris, and it's like, where are you? He's like, I'm here. He's like, I'm in the booth. And he's like, what booth? And then he goes and he sees the lettering. And then he goes there and he's like, oh, I thought you stood me up. And then the restaurant that he's in is like this gorgeous place. And he's like, the juxtaposition of two places side by side that are just so different. So everything that happened with Carrie happened to him.
Oh, with him. And, okay.
Yeah. And I thought it was crazy that it was actually with Big in real life.
Yeah.
Not a random person. And as a sidebar, honestly, I think the best thing this show did for itself was kill Big in the first episode.
Yes.
I just don't know how they would have navigated it.
It would have been boring.
With all the scandal and everything. So.
Yeah. Miranda, they would have had Miranda doing even crazier things to keep her attention. Because that's the whole point. Like you were supposed to be following their dating chronicles. Mm. But we didn't sign up to watch their Happy Ever Afters because that's not compelling TV, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the final part of the behind the scenes was that when they knew they were bringing Aiden back, he called John Corbett and was like, yeah, you're going to have to lose weight. you see that joke where he said, I lost 40 pounds. He said they were kind of going back to, you know, I kind of forgot, but it's true, that Kerry was not a fan of his looks and his style and stuff back in the day. So they said they're going to drop like the Turkish shells and the things, the flannel, and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you that this show, all they do is self-relate, because one of the writers is like, you know, I don't know about other shows, but one thing Michael Patrick King does is that he just doesn't do it to women. In Hollywood, they always tell women, you have to lose weight, but he does it to the men, because he told Steve, you have to lose weight. He told John, you're going to have to drop the fried chicken, and you're going to have to do that. So it's equal opportunity over here. And I'm sitting here like, I mean, I get it, but So
it's like me saying I feel sorry for them for being objectified. It's not the same thing. It's absolutely not the same thing. You're telling a woman who's always been told, like, you can never be skinny enough. It's not the same as telling a man to hit the gym. It's not. I'm sorry. Can't compare.
So, but yeah, so that was that for that, and how they came about, and then the whole talk about they couldn't bring Aiden too soon, and they just brought him now. But I think they nailed it. I think they nailed Aiden's comeback. I like the hug. It was very Aiden. Aiden has always been like an emotional guy. And that's the part. Then they head home. She asks him if he wants to come to her place. I think they just kind of fall into a nice, easy rapport. And they go to the place. And I do like that when they got to the place and they got out the cab, which, why are they not using Ubers? But that's a whole other conversation.
Maybe it's a New York thing.
He looked back and was like, wait, you're still in the same place? Because I was like, were you not looking when they got there? But I get it. Like, you're just not paying attention. He was like, I just didn't think you'd be in the same place. And it was like all of the trauma hit him at once. Mm-hmm. And I just loved that touch. Like, let's not act like you didn't kind of ruin my life.
I was so happy he called her out on it. Like, let's not forget how we ended everything, you know? Like, I didn't disappear from your life for 20 years just for the hell of it, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask was, did you think he was overreacting? But I guess he wasn't. When all that happened, that was when I was like, what big is to carry Carrie's Aiden? Because he's like, I can't do this again. I can't step in. I can't whatever. And she's like, you know what? I understand. And in some way, it almost feels like Carrie feels like Aiden is this big fuck up, not fuck up, but like a big blip in her life that she wants to be absolved from. And it's that thing guys do where if you're friends with me or if you're fine with me, then whatever I did is not that bad and you've forgiven me. And I think she's still chasing that subconsciously. And when Aiden says he needs to leave and then 5 seconds later turns around and is like, fuck it. I'm like, oh my God. Aiden!
I know. just so easy. She really is his big. He just like falls right back into the trap, just like that.
And also, she, I see what you did there, and she is awful to, like, the way Big used to make her jump through hoops just for a little bit of affection. He always has to do that, and she just always feels like she's annoyed by him. And I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. At some point, if their relationship progresses, I hope they talk about what is the dynamics, because he lives in Virginia.
Yeah.
And doesn't live in New York, and he has kids or a kid. I remember from one episode.
Yeah, I wonder if they I forgot about his child.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I actually completely forgot.
We know Carrie's not maternal. Well, I guess they're all grown now, so.
Yeah.
To do anything. So it'll be interesting to see. So I guess they're going to go to a hotel. So I guess he's never, ever, ever going to be at her place because all the trauma. Mm-hmm. But if something like that had such a huge effect on you, how did you get over it in 5 seconds? How do you expect to get over it in the future? Anyways.
I know it's been so long, but all those feelings would definitely come rushing back as soon as you saw the person. So I don't know. But I'm actually interested in finding out, though, which I guess is a strength of the show, you know?
Yeah. I was really hoping they'll talk about the whole Steve Barr thing that you mentioned, but they didn't. They just said, like, he sold his furniture store to West Elm and he moved for the distance. They didn't want a situation where, like, if you're in New York, there's no way you wouldn't, like, run into each other. They just wanted agents, like, gone from her life. But I think the blanks that we have is I can't remember in the movies, because Aiden was in one of the movies where they met up in Dubai or something like that.
She kissed him when she was still married to Big, the Abu Dhabi one.
Okay, I don't remember. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right for him. I don't know, man. But I'm interested, though. It's like, I'm excited to see. I'll honestly say, we all know, like, and just like that, if it wasn't for this podcast, I probably would have stopped watching in season one, because I was just like, oh, no. But I really have enjoyed season two way more than season one. Yeah. I still wouldn't say it's sorry?
Like, I'm really hoping they get a season three, because they are settling into each other. And then I think all the characters are now becoming, like, familiar and stuff. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what they do in season three.
Yes, for sure. So, yeah, they're on the right path. Keep at it.
And they should know when to stop, though. Because at some point, if there's no more stories to mine and all that, like, please don't drag it.
And I'm sure life will enter, like, naturally, like, the actors. I said the actors, let's be real, Sarah Jessica Parker. She'll probably get tired or have another project she wants to do, so.
The best thing that'll happen to them is if Samantha decides to come back.
To come back, yeah.
What's her real name? Sorry, I blanked.
Yeah. Kim Cattrall.
If Kim Cattrall decides season three, I'm going to come. That is the best thing. But I don't know if they can get over all the bad blood or whatever. But that opens up a whole new story. Like, I would love to see some kind of competition between her and Seema. And be like, who is this person that she can take my place? And then
you Seema need to be in a writer's room, Tane.
I'm not threatened by you. And then it'll just be Charlotte be like, oh, we should all get together. Oh, my God. It would be the best. That would be the best thing that'll happen.
Yeah. You need to be in a right. That would be so good. Her and Seema probably hate each other on sight. And then they'd end up being besties by the end. What I would do. I don't know. I hate that it's kind of has robbed us of seeing an older Samantha. I'm just, out of all of them, I think she's probably the one I'm most interested to see what her life looks like now. Like, as someone who was that hardcore in her 40s in a show, like, what she's like in her 60s now. That would be, I don't know. I just think it would be so interesting. But, yeah. But did you have anything else to add about the episode?
No, that was it.
Can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yeah, you can find us at the Rewatch Times 2, THEREWATCHX2, on Twitter, Instagram, and via email at gmail.com.
And please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts, particularly on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.